Glenn Robbins.
Well, it was therapy for us, too.
Pollster extraordinaire. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing, Carrie?
Well, better now. Did you want to add anything to that rant?
Oh, no, I was watching the hockey game. You know, I wasn't listening to that.
Okay, what's the score?
It's 1-0 for the Canucks.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, well, now that we're on that subject, Mr. Pollster,
yeah.
What do you think is going to happen here?
Federally?
No, Canuckly.
Oh, Canuckly. Sorry. I'm a focus guy. Hard to say. We're playing a good game.
Hey, one of the good things about hockey,
it's gonna see who laughs. Mm-hmm. Championship fight, who laughs, who can make it.
All right, so should we take a bit of a poll here? Will this be scientific if we just throw the question out, Mr. Pollster?
Yes, I think it might be.
Okay, you develop the question, and the question will be,
In your opinion, will the Vancouver Canucks win this hockey game based on the play that you've witnessed to this moment?
Oh, why did we have to have that qualifying thing in there? Well, I can answer that truthfully. Yes, they will, because I haven't had a whole bunch of time to watch their play. And my grandson will disown me if I don't say the Canucks are going to win.
Glenn Robbins.
Yeah, in Canada here, I think it means a lot to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Glenn Robbins.
A little bit of sunshine.
Not to disrespect the industry of polling, and that, but one of the great things about hockey is that the outcome doesn't depend on how the polls go.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, thank goodness.
But wait a minute. There's two more people in this room, and we've got a technician who I know is listening. So, Ron Gray, the question, how are you going to answer?
I don't give a hoot about hockey.
Is that it? Is that undecided?
Don't care.
That's not an answer.
Oh.
This poll has one question.
One question. Oh,
yeah. And one answer.
Respondents on the phone, though, I'll tell you.
But every pollster gives you a don't know option.
Come on, just make
option.
It simple.
There's always
no
option.
But this is a roadkill radio poll.
That's right.
We're
That's
fixing
right.
it.
Let it loose.
All right, then the Canucks are going to win.
Yay. All right, and Wayne, sitting where the camera cannot see.
The Canucks would win by their gameplay, but by the referees, the Canucks will lose because of the referees.
The referees did it. All right, Trevor in the control
That's
booth.
Like the courts.
The Canucks, yay or nay? I'm just getting a look. Oh, he's thinking. Yay!
Two thumbs up!
Okay. All right, there you go, Mr. Pollster. All right, Glenn Robbins, you've been a busy, busy man of late.
Sure.
How are things going in this federal election?
Very interesting, but, you know, I know that's not news to you. I was just doing a little bit of research. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, we're just laughing at that.
It's interesting. I was looking at a poll we put out, Robbins SC Research, on April 20th, 2011, from polling April 12th to the 18th, and I'll just give you some of the commentary. This is just about the time when this Leighton thing took off, Jack Layton's rise. I wrote in the commentary, I said, Jack Layton's New Democrats are realizing a surge in popular support across much of Canada. A 50-seat outcome would be a major gain for Jack Layton, particularly if the combined Liberal-New Democrat seat totals are higher than the Conservatives and Michael Ignatius' electoral success does not meet expectations. New paragraph. It is not inconceivable that Jack Layton would become Prime Minister of Canada under such a scenario. Little did I, essentially the theme to this poll is saying that I thought the whole election was about Quebec. And I wrote, and then I'll let it go after this. If Prime Minister Stephen Harper is unable to win a majority through Ontario, then emerging problems with Quebec will be blamed on him, and in part the Liberals, I suggest. The backup plan for another configuration of Parliament under a new Prime Minister will attempt to deflect from the more negative conversation involving Stephen Harper's failures to another attempt at dampening down the separatist monologue that will surely come from Quebec. And by that I mean, of course, the mandated March 2012 provincial election in the province of Quebec and some of the comments made by the Parti Québécois leader Pauline Marois, where she's not even going to, you know, she's going to put things in place prior to any referendum to make sure that, you know, Quebec is on the way out. So on April 20th, this was what we were writing and noting, that Quebec was falling. That time, I think I had Jack Layton at 19, when, you know, traditionally they'd been scoring 8 or 9% carry and run in Quebec. So for me to go up to, you know, to see 19, I thought, my goodness, this is really something that's going on here, right? They can find some resolve against the block leverage with, you know, the third party, you know, Tupac's on the Liberals and the Conservatives. Next thing you know, April 21st, 22nd, 23rd, well, look what's happened. 31-32% in the poll. So, I mean, this is really a different kettle of fish we've got here. And what you can see from some of the early ballots cast and the rise in numbers that are showing up, Ontario, Quebec, 35%, 25%. It's really, really going to be an interesting finish here.
Well, you know, what do you think is contributing to it, Glenn? Because I've looked at, you know, the advertising. I've looked at the policy platforms, and I've talked to a lot of people about this. And, you know, this family pack nonsense that the Liberals have taken on, you know, and that one of the snippy comments that I hear most often is, yeah, they want us to pack off our family, where people want to stay home with their families now. They don't want to be paying for daycare. Have the Liberals lost touch with the will of the people?
You know, I don't think that's the case. I think Michael Ignatieff, as far as the Liberals are concerned, he had to be different, and he couldn't really, one wouldn't have thought that he could do worse than Stephen Dion. But there's other factors here. I would say that part of this, I mean, he may, it's not confirmed whether he'd win a majority or not, Mr. Harper, because of all the changes here with the Conservatives. But the Conservatives haven't run a positive campaign. I mean, it's been a bogeyman campaign, nothing positive, just a defensive thing. They've got, I think, five candidates here in British Columbia that aren't showing up to meetings and such. They batten down the hatches to try and run out the clock. Is there an earned majority here? I don't think so. I think they just don't want to fail. And I think part of the whole thing with Jack Layton erupted in Quebec because, in the same sense as Mr. Harper didn't really give a positive reason for why he should have a majority, you know, aside from the fact he's been pretty steady, okay, you know, we need more than that. I mean, they fired Winston Churchill after he won the Second World War and beat Hitler. So, you know, you gotta keep telling us why, you gotta tell voters why they should give you something, not just say that everybody else is rotten.
Well, Glenn Robbins, I think you put your finger on it there. Wouldn't you say that the real problem here for both the Tories and the Liberals has been that they have relied so heavily on attack ads on the other guy's leader that they make Smiling Jack look like the only civilized being on the hustings?
Well, I think you know, you're right there too, Ron. I think part of this thing was, if there was going to be a hero here, it was somebody who really has kind of been neutral. Jack's been a good guy all these years, but the NDP never threatened, you know, anyone. I mean, yes, they've been involved. It's parliamentary democracy, but nobody ever expected this from them. So at the end of the day, when people started, I think, going, well, Michael Ignatieff isn't making it for me, and, you know, Stephen Harper, how much do I really like him? When you get that kind of dissatisfaction, and then you get just negative ads and negative ads and negative ads, I think you're right. All of a sudden, the opportunity opens up, and here's this, you know, kind of nice-looking guy with his cane who survived cancer, and he's, you know, he's got his Asian, a beautiful Asian wife with him there, and that's going to make an awful lot of folks happy.
Well, you know, I've said this often, Glenn. I could go and have lunch with Jack. You know, I would look forward to that, but I think I could bring him over to my side, you know?
And that might improve
you
his
know?
Chances.
And then we'd really have a problem. But, you know, you know, but this is a unique situation because usually it's the right that's split. This time it's the left that's splitting the vote.
Well, yeah, there's other considerations, too, and you don't know how they play out in some of the ridings involving conservatives and New Democrats. There are ridings involving conservatives and New Democrats, and this lays over another interesting point, and that is, you know, the whole vote on the gun registry, where the NDP had 1 foot in keeping it and 1 foot with some of its MPs, you know, in the northern rural ridings, were with the long gun. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, when you look at the voting patterns in the more rural areas, they're under 50%. So, any break along these lines in these areas could change some of those seats. There's not a lot, but across Canada, there might be 15 seats where the NDP could take it from the Conservatives.
Hmm.
So, you know, the whole thing where we always focus on the vote splits, sometimes that makes sense and sometimes it doesn't make sense because we have such a concentration of votes in areas like Toronto. So, Michael Ignatieff and the Liberals' numbers nationally might not look so good, but if they hold up in urban Toronto and Ontario, where most pollsters, including us, are still showing them at 36%, that means they're competitive in Ontario, which has, I think, 106 seats. So it's seat-rich, and so some of these dynamics play differently, the vote split across the country, and it's not always easy to determine how that's going to play out, whether it's a conservative majority or whether or not, as Frank Graves from ECO's polling was saying, that I think just yesterday he was saying he thought that the NDP is going to get 100 seats. I mean, how do you handicap that when they've got 38, I think, at the end of last election?
Glenn, I want to ask you something about the concentration of Liberal support being in Toronto and Ontario. Is that completely dependent on the amount of government jobs that are being, you know, supported through taxpayers, you know, being cash cows?
I would say in the broadest sense, my feeling about Toronto and Ontario sometimes being a Westerner, and maybe I'm putting a little personal bias in here.
So noted.
You got to remember, Stephen Harper might have a riding in Calgary, but he's originally from Toronto. Michael Ignatieff is a Toronto guy, and Jack Layton is a Toronto guy. So we've got all the Federalists in or around Bay Street, right? Who do their business in Ottawa. So we've got, there's a number of issues involving political control, involving money. You know, one of the ones that hasn't been talked about too much is the securities regulators.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was telling you in a phone conversation earlier, New Brunswick filed a brief with the Supreme Court of Canada about 10 days before the federal election was called, the writ was dropped. And in part in that brief, it introduced the idea that the way it came into Confederation it wasn't pleased with, and part of their argument was predicated on control, including this whole idea of the securities regulators. So in behind the scenes, this securities regulation centralization has become an issue for many provinces. So there's and you got to remember, New Brunswick has a progressive, conservative provincial government. And you may recall Mr. Mulroney out of Quebec, really didn't give Stephen Harper a ringing endorsement. So I think there's other things that could be at play, even with the Conservative Party, depending on the outcome here.
Do you think the rise of the NDP in Quebec is really a signal that the Bloc Québécois is on its last legs and about to collapse?
Well, you know, I found it interesting that these polling numbers went up for the NDP, yet they weren't prepared with the infrastructure there.
Mm.
They didn't have the troops. They weren't targeting anything. So, I mean, one presumes in this day and age that major federal political party, any major political party, is going to be doing some polling. You know, none of them asked me, but that's okay.
Your day's coming, Glenn.
No, thanks. No, I'm trying to do something different here, just like you guys are. The situation there in Quebec is such that if the NDP, outside of Thomas Mulcair in Outremont, and he's a real rising star, so he's got some influence. There's something there with Thomas Mulcair. But if they weren't prepared for this, and these numbers just came up out of the blue, yes, I saw a blip April 20th, but within 5 days they're at 30%. I mean, to me, as a researcher and a pollster, to go from 11 or 12% over 75 seats to 30, I mean, to me, that's unimaginable. I don't know that happened. So initially I thought this is some kind of bandwagon at play, and they're hoping the NDP will catch up. But, you know, in reading an article from Chantal Hébert out of the Toronto Star, I could see how this was available as something that could happen. Because, look, the Conservatives had lost credibility. They did a hockey arena thing there. Then they backed out. They put sweater jerseys on. Then Michael Ignatieff said, okay, I'll buy you a rink. And Quebec's still mad at him. They're still mad at Harper. But nobody's mad at Jack. And Jack is a Social Democrat. And most Quebecers are Social Democrats, even the Nationalists. So I think, Ron, that what was there were cracks. And I think, as Chantal Hébert had said, what was happening is the sovereigntist argument was becoming too much noise. So even soft Federalists were going, come on, you've got to come up with another reason over all these years for me to vote you in.
Okay. Listen, I'd like to throw another question.
What else are you going
to
do for me? So I think there was this opening in play, and now it's wide open. And with Pauline Marois, and you got to remember, Gilles Duceppe had considered running provincially not too long ago.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So he really wants to sort of repatriate himself, and he's been around the federal scene for a long time singing the same song. So he really had indicated that he'd, and the only reason he didn't is because he was told Pauline Marois would beat him. And now she's got a 93% vote approval, and she's singing the song provincially. So I think that when the federal election came up, there was, to answer your question, Ron, there was an opening, and it's been exploited. And it's only now we're going to be able to see what does this do in terms of, you know, what they characterize as tipping. Will this whole NDP thing mean that it'll start to affect Ontario? You know, will it cross over where people start saying, you know what, Stephen Harper, I don't want you? I mean, right now it's interesting. I would say anything can happen going down to the wire. Maybe the wedding in England might save Stephen Harper, because they're not inviting any Labour Party guys to the wedding.
Jack's not going. Glenn, yeah. I want to ask you about a funny incident, and I just caught this, but Michael Ignatieff showed up at an impromptu hockey game and was booed, I guess, for a significant amount of time. And the Sun news media picked it up, but I didn't see it on CTV or very many other medias. What have you thought about the media reporting on this election run-up?
Media, one of my favorite subjects.
Ours too.
Well, I kind of like being on the outside a little bit. I can rabble rouse. I don't have to buy into some of it. It seems to me that notwithstanding any of the policies, and I followed it too. Like I said, I haven't been impressed with the Conservative campaign. It's been really much ado about nothing. But they do have a record, and they did. You know, Stephen Harper looks good abroad. I mean, he's a good-looking prime minister, you know, when he gets out there. He's consistent. He's solid. He makes the country look solid. The election hasn't looked good. But I guess Michael Ignatieff just isn't making it with, particularly with the ladies.
Not this lady.
Well, with women voters, I guess he's just not getting across I didn't think he ran such a bad campaign, honestly, but it seems to me he has been nowhere in the media did I ever pick up any traction for him at any time. And when he was starting to get a little traction, we were seeing him around 28, 29, 30. And I think Ecos was showing the same thing. Then this whole latent thing exploded, and that was the end of that.
Mm.
And we were seeing numbers 35, 36, others, Ipsos, I think, had Harper at 44 or something like that. I mean, I don't know what that was going on there, 42. But in any event, well into majority territory. But there was a little bit of a time there where it looked like Ignatieff was creeping up a little bit, and then this whole thing busted loose. But I didn't see any positive, you know, and I would scan Gazette. I'd go through all the newspapers and reading, and I just wasn't reading any opinion from journalists or anybody else. They just didn't seem to want him to win. I think they're trying to bring Trudeau back.
Well,
which one?
I hear it's coming.
Glenn, there's another, in an entirely another field, something I'd like to get your analysis on. 2 days ago, you released a poll in which you said the BC Conservatives are almost at 25% now.
Yeah.
Like within four and
okay,
a half
but,
points.
But I want to ask one more question on the federal election, okay. Then we'll move to the BC.
Yeah.
Glenn, what are the issues that matter? Did in any of your polling, did you put questions out there to your contacts and ask them what issues were important to them?
I didn't do it as much this year. I did a BC poll. Then I went into Ontario, and mostly I wanted to gather up feedback from respondents just in terms of who they supported. So there was times when I went in, I'd ask all sorts of policy questions. I asked some questions in BC early on about the F-35s,
mm-hmm.
You know, the big multi-billion dollar F-35 proposed purchase and some of the problems there.
That the Liberals started when they were in power.
Yeah, I asked, I went in early and asked some British Columbians federally about abortion to get that out, you know, front and center.
I thought that was illegal. You're not allowed to talk about that. Are you being a rebel again, Glenn Robbins?
Hey,
naughty
Carrie,
boy.
Carrie, I no longer sit there on the stoop of my house with a rifle in my head. And any of you guys listening to Roadkill now, don't you start any rumors. The but you see, it was actually I'd asked a question about a couple of hard questions. Well, on abortion, I think it was a third of the people were saying no. They don't want to pay for it.
Hmm.
And on demand, I think was how I had phrased it. So, that was a policy question in BC. We moved to Ontario, and basically, I really just wanted to try and find out where the vote was breaking there early. I even think we asked a death penalty question.
Hmm.
And maybe I might have been trying to bait Harper a little bit early. After that young woman was, the two fellows were raised to adult court,
mm-hmm.
convicted
yeah.
of murder for targeting, torturing, and murdering that woman in Victoria, young woman.
Yes, yes, the Kelly.
And basically asked what should be done. Yeah. I think they got 10 in 10 years they can apply for probation. And the second response option I gave them is be executed. And I'm laughing because I just thought, well, here, I'm just going to be brazen with it. And I got a third of the people answer be executed.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
So, I was, it was a fairly big sample, I think.
That is, that's intriguing. That's unexpected.
And I think what was interesting was, if I recall, half the people who were against abortion were for the execution.
Hmm. Interesting.
So I thought, wow, it's kind of a humbling irony.
It is
in that transfer of but that's a thirds on those questions, particularly over the phone, because some people, you know, I wanted to use the word execute because
mm-hmm.
it's so final.
It's very descriptive.
And it didn't. It did not shock people. It was answered like any other question on finance or any social policy.
Wow!
It absolutely prevents recidivism.
I was quite amazed that you can ask these questions of people. And I remember years back asking questions, and everybody was asking same-sex questions. Back when Gretchen was prime minister, and I can remember as soon as I was doing a blind, I'd get on the phone and I'd hear someone on the other end, and I knew the fellow was about 58, 60 with a gruff voice. And I'd say, yeah, we just want to ask a question about same-sex marriage. Well, I'm not going to repeat in the radio what would be responsible.
Not even on roadkill?
Well, basically, they'd say F off and hang up. So it was pretty hard to find out some of the respondents in those questions. Hmm. But nowadays, you can ask a question, you know, as long as they think your callers are credible and you're doing this. But I wanted to see where that was coming out. And basically, the same support for the F-35 plane purchase was about the same as those against abortion and those for execution.
Hmm.
Now, there's no correlation there, save and except it's the same number, amount of people. Hmm. Of respondents. But it goes to show you that we still don't like to talk about social policy. And I can ask those questions in the United States, and you're going to get a much higher number against abortion. It's much closer to even there, right?
Well, you need to start off by saying it is legal to talk about this subject, as long as Harper doesn't find out we're doing it.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Canada has got some real issues. BC's got some issues, and I heard you talk about human rights and stuff. I don't think I want to go there now, but I don't want to get on freedom of speech. I really think we're dumbed down pretty bad here.
Hmm.
And Canadians, in my view, they don't mind talking about things.
Hmm.
As long as you're respectful about it.
Mm-hmm.
These are real issues. I mean, people pay for abortions.
Yeah.
Right? People get angry when they see two punks laughing after they've murdered an innocent young girl and parents. Yeah, and people don't like this stuff.
Yeah.
So these are real issues for people, but for some reason they don't really want to talk about it on the radio or anything else like that. But that goes back to your question about media. I think our media is really, really in trouble here. Mm-hmm. I think it's in trouble because it's centralized. I think it's in trouble because the same people who they need to fund that, fund political parties. I think Canada's going to have to really break loose a little bit and let people be liberated more than we are now.
They're going to have to start traveling. Sure. They're going to have to start traveling with us on the roadkill highway.
The downstream media are in trouble because they drink each other's bathwater.
Oh, badly.
Glenn, before we move on to the provincial scene, how are you going to call the federal election?
You know, for the first, I've got a poll coming out where I'm pitting two leaders face to face, and I think you can guess them, but I'm not going to tell you, so I can keep it a bit of a secret on Thursday, and I'm going to see what the outcome of that is. But I can't see the Conservatives not winning. I mean, I've just gone through, you know, riding by riding. I can't see them not winning, but I think they'll win government, but if they win a majority, I think it will be because of all this confusion and splitting and stuff that you mentioned some time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if it's necessarily the will of the people, even though that sounds odd saying that. I think it's kind of an outcome that just falls that way.
Yeah, well,
I can't see them winning a majority.
Who do you think is going to come in as official opposition?
It might be Layton. I mean, he's got such a head of steam here, and you're seeing an uptick in the votes. An uptick in the votes is, if you take some of that bathwater, the uptick in the votes is not a good sign for the Conservatives. A good sign for the Conservatives allegedly has been fewer votes.
Well, you know, if I was forced to vote, and I couldn't vote for the Conservatives, I would vote for Jack Layton over Ignatieff. And well, but on the condition he had to sit down and let me bring him onto my side.
You know what's really interesting? There's a financial show, Lang O'Leary or something, right, where they talk about money, this, that, and the other. And they had a real successful CEO in there, Weston, I think his last name is, a well-spoken guy, knows, you know, markets and business very well. And they asked him about Layton, that or about this when this was really starting to percolate. And he said, I'd like him for prime minister, but I don't like his party. And I thought, whoa, what the hell is this? They got CEOs saying they like him.
But I get that. You know, and that's maybe that's where, you know, the Jack needs to learn a few lessons and that party has to start speaking to the people because they're, this is the environmentalists coming out in me and a few other things. But, you know, there are some good policies that the NDP have. It's just the really bad ones that make all the good ones look really yuck.
Well, if Ignatieff falls, if there's a conservative minority, if Ignatieff falls in behind and Layton wins opposition, and their seats combined are enough for them to have leverage over Harper, right? More seats than Mr. Harper and the Conservatives, and they've reduced the number of seats of the Bloc in the process, right? Then there's a position for them, for Jack Layton, to become Prime Minister, and it's going to be an acceptable situation. What wasn't acceptable, I think, and this is what turned on Ignatieff, was Ignatieff becoming Prime Minister on his first run. He didn't even really have to fight this time around for his leadership. I think the media and I think the people, I just think they didn't want him in given that opportunity. So they thought, okay, if Harper doesn't get it and it comes up the other way, then that's why I was reading in my little April 20th spiel, was... I think this is really kind of the blueprint they're looking at. It's because they're going to have to deal with Quebec.
Yeah.
And Jack Layton has said he's going to speak to the matter of the Constitution, the fact that they didn't sign. And they realize Harper can't do this with reduced seats and reduced leverage, and neither can Mr. Ignatieff. So they have to find, I guess, Jack Layton, to wrap up here, is probably perceived as an honest broker.
A quick thought on the advanced polls. I went to an advanced poll on yesterday, and chatted with a lot of the workers there, and they said that the turnout was really heavy and enthusiastic, not like in previous elections. What do you make of that?
Well, they did. These polls did follow Jack Mania. Okay, so there's one. Bit of timing correlation. The other thing I found interesting, and that's all good news, we don't want to have lower voter turnout, right? I mean, we've got enough issues to deal with without the apathy becoming so metastasized we can't bring it back, right?
Yeah.
And these are important issues, right? The stuff you guys talk about is important stuff. And what surprised me was the number of people that walked away because they didn't have facilities set up for them. They hadn't planned for it.
No. Well,
so this could have been much higher than it was. I think it's pretty exciting because, I've got a lot of people phoning me, emailing me and other stuff, trying to get some insight. And I said, man, I've gone through every seat in every province and looked at the numbers and seen the relationships and what might happen, what the trends might be. But when you get something where... In the second largest province, where Quebec, where the numbers for one party, the NDP, have never done well, triple in a week, I'm not going to say I find it hard to believe. I'm just saying there's something deaf. And then you see what you're talking about, the enthusiasm. There's something going on here.
Yes.
I wouldn't be happy if I was Mr. Harper, but, you know, like Ron says, what do the pollsters know?
Okay, now let's go to the provincial scene here where politics is a sport in British Columbia. And the headline that Ron referred to, I have to admit, Glenn Robbins, you got the biggest crack-up chuckle from me when I laid eyes on that one.
Well, you know, I, I, I hope I wasn't being blasphemous or anything.
Oh, it
wasn't,
I loved it.
It wasn't, it wasn't the, intended that way.
It put very the conservatives, it put the BC conservatives within almost, with less than 5 points of the liberals and within 11 points of the NDP. That's a startling rise in a short time.
Well, I think the same thing in BC, in kind of a reverse, is happening in BC. That is, I think a lot of people are saying, I don't know if I want the NDP, and you know what? I've had 10 years of the Liberals here. And what, Christy Clark, really, what are you doing?
Yeah. Oh, hey, tell me what you think about the Christy Crunch cereal commercial by the NDP.
It was a good commercial.
I still crack up whenever I go watch that. It was brilliant.
Yeah, it was. And as Ron had alluded to earlier on, I think people like some relief. It's funny. I talk to when I'm talking here and there, people know what I do. I'm interested in politics, right, or polling. They'll come up to me, and a number of people that'll tell me they saw a Dan Murphy cartoon or something that was humorous and not mean. I think Ron might be onto something. I think people, are more willing to accept a bit of a, giving someone a bit of a kick in something that's humorous.
Mm-hmm. Well, the little train giveaway at the end of
that. The negativity that's being sold.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then they can take the message and say, you know what, there's some truth to that message in the evidence, but I don't have to take on all this negativity, which really, who wants to buy into that depression all the time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I think it was funny. I liked it. It was very clever.
But even going right down to the details of it, that last little scene there when
the little train giveaway, that was a really neat little shaft.
But you know what it did, too, because I was actually in a Starbucks, and I was listening to conversations at two tables that had joined together to talk about this. And some people didn't get it. So other people were explaining why that train was there and all the little nuances. Well, I mean, they're blatant as far as I'm concerned, but a lot of people still don't get all of that. And once they grasp it, the place was rip-roaring laughing again, right?
Yeah.
It was quite an interesting exercise in, getting your message out in a way that not only sent a very clear message, but generated discussion.
Yeah. And to Ron's thing, I think what all of this has opened up with the NDP and the Liberals, with the NDP doing that in that commercial and the Conservatives being there, I mean, I'm not sure how many people are aware of John Cummins. If you use John Cummins, which I have, and the fact that he's a former MP, member of Parliament, that helps his cred. But the Conservative label is still pretty hot. I mean, look, they got 46% federally.
Mm-hmm.
I think they should have been doing something about this relationship with the BC Liberals a long time ago. And I think what's happened is after 10 years of Gordon Campbell, right, people get sick of you after 10 years anyhow. And there, at least from my determinations, there are an awful lot of 50 to 60-year-old guys who like Campbell year in, year out. If you ask them now what they think about Christie, they're not too hot on her. So they're either sitting on the sidelines, but they like the conservative thing. And I think the federal election impacted on those polling numbers too. And I got to be honest, I had an inkling going in. That's why in that particular question, I only used party labels. I didn't use their names.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you get a little bit of confusion because people are getting so called up about the federal poll. But the fact of the matter is the conservative name label, I mean, the Prime Minister of Canada, his party's conservative, is a good name label. And I think the other factor is I think people in B.C. are just a little bit sick of NDP and B.C. Liberals.
Yeah.
I think the coalition is split here.
What do you think is going to happen at the by-election then?
Well, you know, I did a little bit of research here. This is an interesting place, this Point Grey. 1991, I'm looking at a referendum question. Should voters be given the right by legislation to vote between elections for the removal of their member of the Legislative Assembly? Yes, 80.89%.
The recall legislation.
Should voters be given the right by legislation to propose questions that the government of British Columbia must submit to voters by referendum? 83.02%.
Wow.
And I just thought it was kind of ironic scrolling through.
They like direct democracy.
Sure, this is 1991, circa 1991. And not my polling. This is actually referendum questions at the election.
Well, imagine now what'll happen, Glenn, that everybody's been indoctrinated with the efficiency of the voting system on American Idol.
Yeah. It's starting to get the last leadership elections have been a little bit creepy when you know the amount of money that's being dropped into campaigns by certain candidates, and then the outcome, and we don't get to see them cross the floor or do any of that stuff anymore. We're not witnesses to democracy anymore.
No.
And I think that was your point. But it was interesting in those two questions. The reason I brought them up at 80.89 and 83.9, that's very high.
Sure.
Is the lowest in the province, even on that, 71 and 74, was Point Grey, and the one lower was Quilchina, where Colin Hanson's from. So even back then when it was overwhelming, they were a little bit standoffish about giving us too much democracy. But also what's interesting is in 1989, Dr. Tom Perry, the mm-hmm. NDP, got 52.91%.
In that riding?
In that riding.
Wow.
In 1991, Darlene Marzari, NDP, got 49.29.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah. Now, Gordon Campbell in 2005 got 45.98. Okay?
Yeah.
And in 2009, he got 50.38. 2005, BC NDP got 37.7, but Green was 15.12.
Right.
In 2009, though, Green declined in Point Grey to 8.78, and the NDP got 40.28. So it isn't as if, and also in that 1991 where Darlene Marzari, NDP, 1991 got 49.26, that's when the Libs and the Socred trouble was happening.
Mm-hmm.
But their combined vote was about 48. So it's not as if Point Grey is been dominated by conservatives. I mean, it's been won a couple times by the NDP, and I left 2001 out of there because it's kind of an aberration. It was such an overwhelming win, right, for the Liberals. But the you can see that the NDP has a real they've got a real chance, and they've got a real good candidate with this civil liberties fellow.
Yeah, Ebby. He's got a name, and he's got a platform, and he's got some history behind him.
Yeah, I found it a little odd. I don't know. I heard a couple of the regular pundits talking about this, saying, "Well, it was really good for Christie that she's got this federal election." I don't know that it is. I think, you know, having a by-election 9 days after the federal election, I think some people are going to be a little miffed by that. I mean, Christy Clark really hasn't allowed much room, and she's clearly had her choice of dates to do this. So I think she's got her work cut out for her.
What could possibly be the benefit for her to have the election so close, the by-election to the federal election, Glenn?
People could be tired, worn out, news, political news, it's May 2nd, and they end up saying, well, I'm going to take a little breather, and within just a little more than a week, you've got a by-election, so I think maybe she's thinking there's not going to be that much attention that can be paid
And only the party faithful will turn out.
There's a benefit to low voter turnout then in her mind.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's not as if there's a whole lot of headlines can pop up in 7 or 8 days, but, you know, they've probably, I'm not even going to say that about the media, but I'm not going to sound like a real...
Now, what do you think, are the Conservatives going to jump into that race? Is BC First, Chris Delaney, he's certainly a factor in this province.
Well, sure. John Cummins said he's not going to go in the election, and I'm not sure if he said the Conservatives weren't or were not, because they've got their leadership election coming up in May 28th, I think, And we spoke earlier on this. I think in retrospect, I thought it was kind of cowardly they should run somebody. But given the outcome of the poll I did and showing the conservatives so high, why would he want to document in any kind of election anything less than that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And but his comment that the leader of a party should have a seat in the House, I don't know, to me, that, you know, that wasn't working with the blood sport here. It was like, after you, ma'am, you know, go ahead and have a seat. It was interesting when I saw a fellow named Eddie Petrosian, who has been with BC Conservatives and seems to travel a little bit where Mr. Delaney goes, is running as an independent in Point Grey. What that means, you know, maybe he's taken a point or two or three or four. See, once you start taking percentages out of that basket, we know the Green's going to get some, but once you start reducing those percentages, if the NDP can hold their averages of 44 or 45, there's only going to be that much left over for Christie to win. If there's others in the pond there that are taking votes away.
Now, wait a minute, Glenn Robbins. Now, I just happened to have on my email distribution list a notice from BC First that they have a big announcement tomorrow afternoon. Do you think this is anything to do with the Point Grey by-election?
Well, my guess is, and you probably know more than me because you've got Chris Delaney on your show half the time, right?
Well, at least half. Yeah, probably three quarters.
I mean, come on. Hey, I've met Chris. He's a fun dude, and I like hanging around talking with him when I get a chance. But, I mean, let's be truthful here. You guys really like Chris Delaney, and fair enough. But I think if his announcement that he's running there...
Hey, wait a minute, okay? As far as politicians go, they, you know, will assist anybody who wants it,
will take anybody
to task who needs it, but except for Elizabeth May. We do admit that we excluded her from our fringe party debate.
Okay.
But yes, we like Chris, and I'm proud to say that.
And you know what? And Chris has earned the right to be liked. He's worked hard. He's earned it.
He earned
it, and I like him too. I'd love to see him run in Point Grey, but the advantage Chris has here is if he runs, I have no more indication than you have from the press release. If he runs in Point Grey, and BC Conservatives don't run, I think that's a fairly clever move. Even if it's a little opportunistic, the door was left open there by Mr. Cummins. And if Chris Delaney announces that he's going in particularly, and he's got a pretty big name from HST and all that,
mm-hmm.
and if he can be, you know, successful, and to me successful is 10, 15 points. If he does something like that and Christie gets knocked out, then, you know, Chris Delaney is going to be a force, and so is his BC First Party, however that manifests. So, yeah, that's... This is going to be just so much fun, isn't it?
Well, you know, but you know, I want to talk about that because I suspect that people, there is a bit of a change in the air, Glenn Robbins, and we're fast running out of time. My goodness, time has flown with you here.
Yeah.
I suspect people are taking their duty in democracy a little bit more seriously these days because, you know, the government is getting so big and so invasive. And they do have an opportunity to change that. And I do suspect from my discussions, because I do get to speak to so many people, that there is something afoot. And I'm not sure exactly what's happening, but there is, I don't want to use the word enthusiasm, and I don't want to use the word excitement. Perhaps it's just the knowledge that they have to be involved to make a difference. And I suspect that you are going to get not a bad turnout in Point Grey there.
Yeah.
Because I think people do want to have a say in what goes. I think they're royally pissed off at the Liberals. And so we should be. I mean, the $6 million giveaway to Bassey Virk, you know, for their legal expenses.
Yeah. I think what's happening, the Internet, the roadkill radios, you know, the
Twitter and Facebook,
independent polling. I think all the people who have done that kind of work or have gotten involved, I think more and more regular people in the coffee shop have figured out that the people in government operate like they're entitled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that if you don't do something about this, if you don't do something about it, they will eat you alive.
Well, and take all your money while they're doing it. Glenn Robbins, your website has an address, and it is full of good information, entertaining information, and wonderful commentary. What is the address?
www.robbins, R-O-B-B-I-N-S, S-C-E, Strategic Calling Environment, robbinssceresearch.com.
And if they just pump in Glenn Robbins pollster, they're going to get you.
Once they get past all the stuff about jail and stuff, no, I'm just kidding. Glenn P. Robbins, you'll find a bunch of stuff there, and they can go in and have a good read.
Thanks so much, Glenn, and all your good work, because your site is so informative, and you have the best headlines going from any pollster that I read.
Thanks, and thanks you too, Ron.
Good talking to you, Glenn.
Yeah, see ya.
Good night.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night. So, Carrie Simpson,
wow,
wait, the program's not quite over yet, and I want to know, are you going to make a forecast on the federal election?
You know, I'm going to be a real optimist here. I think Harper's going to get a squeaker of a majority, mostly because I think people are going to rebel, and for no other reason, that they were forced to have to spend $300 million of their tax dollars to fund this, you know, charade of democracy. So I hope people will give a political spanking, and that's what it will be, a political spanking. I don't think the issues are that big to people. Harper's message about, you know, the stable economy, Canada's done really well on the global front, That has resonated with people, and it's a fact. You know, when you look at what's happening down the United States, you look at what's happening in Europe and all the rest, Canada is shining like a really nice star in this, and Harper was at the helm of, you know, all of this. That's going to speak to people. But I do sense the bigger motivation, Ron Gray, is people are just really ticked that we had to have another election. And there's going to be, you know, this national political spanking being given. The Leighton rise and claim to fame is fun. I have to say I'm delighted. If nothing else, it's just a hoot. And you know what? I do like the man way better than Ignatieff. And so forget the issues, forget the policies. I'm just going to be a typical Canadian and vote for somebody because I like them. So my call would be narrow majority for Harper. And just because I'd love to see it, and I would just laugh so hard, but not that he deserves it. Well, no, he does deserve it probably more than Ignatieff, you know, with Jack Layton. Come on, Jack, Mr. O.O., as Mr. O.O. himself.
The Layton phenomenon is kind of the pollster's equivalent of a pox on both your houses.
Exactly. But I would never be that mean to say something like that.
Okay. Well, I'll give you my numbers.
All right.
Conservative, 128.
Okay.
Liberals, 100. NDP, 50. Bloc, 30.
Well, you're no fun.
And that puts us pretty much back where we were.
And the Bloc, how many?
30. Yeah.
So same old, same old.
Yeah.
Where's your sense of adventure, Ron Gray? Come on.
This is not the result I want. This is the result I foresee.
Well, you know, but we have this moment in time just to sort of bask in what might be. And here you are just bringing reality back into it.
There's one other thing that you mentioned is this understanding of civics among Canadians. You know, on Rex Murphy's call-in program on Sundays this week, he mentioned that they did a poll in which more than a quarter of the young respondents said that they thought that we elect our prime minister directly, which is an indictment of the education system, because they just don't teach people. Well, they don't teach them to think, and they don't teach them the facts. They teach them everything else.
And then some. All right, Ron Gray, we are out of time. We're done.
Okay.
Where did the time go?
Next week?
I am out of here.
But you, Terry O'Neill will be here,
and you'll be back, you'll be tackling the issues and driving this roadkill highway to a great success. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
You've been listening to Roadkill Radio. Join us again next week for another trip down the superhighway of information, fact, and truth.